Pears, because they're soft and sweet. Who else? Apples, why? Oh, because they're crispy and sweet. Apples. Who else? Strawberries? Why? Ah, sweet. Anybody else? Grapes. Why? Okay, because you can freeze them and they're like little popsicles. Who else? Oh, bananas, why? Bananas because they go with peanut butter. Mmm. I'm hungry now. Who else? Anybody else? Watermelon, I heard. Okay, I like watermelon with some salt and lime. Forget about it. Amen, amen. He gonna go get some fruit. So, you know, as I was preparing this this evening's message about bearing fruit, I kept coming across different opinions regarding natural earthly fruit. And again, you can answer these. This is before we get into the message. So one of them was, because I would say, you know, what does the Bible say about bearing fruit? And I would never get what I was looking for. And so one of the things that I got was, what is the most consumed fruit in the world? Does anybody know the answer to that? I didn't. Who said bananas? Bananas. The banana, of course. Over 100 billion bananas are consumed worldwide each year. India, China, Brazil, and Indonesia account for half of that consumption. Bananas make up approximately 75% of the annual tropical fruit trade. Isn't that something? 100 billion bananas. That's crazy. Another one is, what is the most versatile fruit? Any guesses? Avocado. Anyone else? Got a mango lover here. That comes from me, so I love mangoes. Who said apples? Apples. According to many sources, the apple is widely considered the most versatile fruit in the world. It could be eaten fresh, juiced, cooked, baked into various desserts, and used in both sweet and savory dishes with a wide variety of types to suit different tastes and uses. You know, I used to not like apples, but I loved applesauce, and that never made sense to me. Then my wife said, hey, you know, there's different kinds of apples. And I was like, I didn't really want to talk about it, but she actually talked me into getting, there's a Gala, Pink Ladies. Yeah, there's a bunch. And yeah, the Envy apples are the ones that I like the most. There's Granny Smith. I mean, there's so many apples. And, you know, it was just, I guess I always just thought it was just the Red Delicious. It's not my favorite. But yeah, I did not know. The Lord is, he's amazing. For him to make that many apples, for every, you know, everybody has a different taste. And so that's amazing to have that many apples. This next one, what fruit is known as the king of fruits? The only answer, and it was correct. She was right. Rest of y'all, never mind. I'm just kidding. So the mango is known worldwide as the king of fruits. The title was bestowed to this pitted fruit for its superfood nutritional value. Vast cultivation with more than 100 mango producing countries spread throughout the world. An enormous consumer popularity. And I love mangoes. That's my favorite fruit. I just hate cutting them. And then if you get green ones, you got to wait a day or two for them to ripen, or a week. So it's a bittersweet relationship with mangoes. All right. And this last one, what is the healthiest fruit? Oh. Somebody give her a prize. Did you look at this before I came up? No? So, blueberries. The answer is blueberries. Blueberries are packed with antioxidants, vitamins, including vitamin C, fiber, and other essential nutrients. They have been linked to numerous health benefits, including improved heart health, reduced inflammation, enhanced cognitive function, and lower risks of certain types of cancer. Amen. I love blueberries as long as they're in a muffin. Hallelujah. Now, although I found all these fruit facts interesting, the kind of fruit I want to share with you tonight is spiritual fruit. Amen. So, again, you can shout out an answer if you like. What does it mean to bear spiritual fruit? Or what is the fruit of the Spirit in the Bible? Or where is the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in the Bible? Galatians. Got some Bible readers in here. Amen. Yeah, in the Bible, spiritual fruit is a term for the behaviors that are the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible lists these behaviors in Galatians, like you guys said, 5:22 through 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Amen. So as you can see, bearing fruit is a metaphor for growing in Christ-likeness. As we stay connected to the vine, the source of our fruitfulness, we will bear fruit. This is supported in the book of John 15:5-8, where it reads, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That last one hit me like a ton of bricks. And so prove to be my disciples. Got quiet in here. So you may ask yourself, how do I produce spiritual fruit? Well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, this is just we're repeating Galatians 5:22. First of all, before we begin, let's look at Galatians 5:22. And this was kind of profound to me because I used to say fruits of the Spirit, but the Bible doesn't say that. Let's look at Galatians 5:22 where it reads, but the fruit of the Spirit, fruit, singular. Notice how that reads fruit and not fruits. The Bible uses the singular term fruit of the Spirit to describe the attributes produced by the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Amen. The singular form emphasizes that these attributes are a unified whole rather than separate virtues. Some people refer to the 9 Christ-like attributes in Galatians 5 in plural form, fruits of the Spirit. I'm guilty of that. While it is true that each attribute is distinct, the Scripture refers to them as a united, singular fruit. These 9 attributes come together in a Christian's life to reflect a complete picture of the character of Christ. Like I mentioned above, regarding the natural fruits, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is as versatile as the apple for Christians. It should be the most, like, as versatile as the apple, and for Christians, it should be the most consumed fruit in our lives. And like, I'm sorry. Yes, the most consumed for Christians, it should be the most consumed fruit in our lives, like the banana. And it should be the king of fruit in our lives, like the mango. And why? Because it brings forth health of spiritual character, like the blueberry. And so, you know, all of them things that I came across about the fruit eventually connected together. So I thought I was wasting my time in it, but the Lord was like, no, I want you to put it together this way. So it's important that Paul doesn't write that the nine attributes of Christ's character are the fruit of your own efforts. These nine attributes are the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. So let's start by looking at each of these to obtain the meaning of each attribute of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Number one is love. What does love mean to you guys? Anyone? Don't get quiet now. Oh, there it is. He's quoting directly out of the chapter of love. Amen, amen. So love, it's no coincidence that Paul puts love first in the fruit of the Spirit. The Greek word for love in this instance is agape. It is the highest form of the different kinds of love expressed by distinct Greek words. I had to learn Greek, you guys. Including eros, which is romantic love. Philia is friendship love. And storge, I don't know if I said that right, but that's familial love. Agape is the kind of love God has for his creations. Amen. I love that. It's so beautiful and profound to me that the creator of the universe would love me as a son. It almost brought me to tears. It is pure, selfless, and self-sacrificing. Amen. It always seeks the best for others, even your enemies, at all costs. A beautiful description of agape love is found in the Bible verses, like Brother Mike mentioned, of 1 Corinthians 13, often called the chapter of love. God shows his agape love for us in sacrificing his only son to save us from our sinful nature. Amen. Romans 5:8 says it best. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. That should bring you guys joy, because that's the next one. So joy, what is joy? Anybody? No? All right. Joy, the joy Paul refers to in Galatians 5 is much deeper than a sense of happiness or gladness from life circumstances. It is a profound delight and rejoicing that comes from knowing and serving God. Amen. The Bible describes the importance of this divine joy to the Christian's life. Nehemiah 8:10. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, sometimes when I'm going through a hard time and I try to, my mom would always tell me, you know, you got to continue to push forward. And sometimes I would think, man, I'm tired. I don't know how many of you guys have been there, but I'm tired of pushing forward. You know, I would try to call on my strength, and, you know, some of us older folks, as time goes along, your strength, you know, just because of the way we're formed and framed, it begins to diminish. So there was times where I'm like, man, I can't do this. But this scripture is so beautiful to me because it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So we depend on the Lord. We lean on him. And when we're being joyful, that provides us strength. Amen. Not only does it provide strength, the next fruit is peace. Anybody know what peace means? Not stressed, okay. What'd you say? Calmness, amen. Anyone else? Peace. Peace. Tranquility, amen. Peace is an unshakable inner calm that can be a rare quality in turbulent times. How many of us have had turbulent times? Amen. Again, that's a rare quality. The peace that comes from the Spirit is not just a small comfort. Paul describes it as beyond human understanding in this reassuring passage, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen. I'm going to read that last one. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, I've encountered that peace a lot. And even when I'm in the thick of it, when things are going wrong and I feel like I'm going to get written up or fired from my job, I feel that peace. And in that peace, he reminds me that he will never leave me nor forsake me. So in spite of everything that's going on, I soak up that peace because I don't want to be, who said not stressed? You? I don't want to be stressed. That's a horrible state to be in because you're thinking of all these things, horrible things in your head. And 95% of the things that we dream up aren't going to happen. And I found that just through life experience. Oh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. Oh, no. And come to find out, it's not as bad as we made it out to be. I made a mountain out of a molehill. Amen. How many of us do that? The next one, forbearance. Who can tell me what that means? Amen. You're good. You cheated. Forbearance. Anybody else? And we're not talking about forbearance on your student loan. Patience. Amen. I like that. Long suffering. Amen. Forbearance, also called long suffering. Forbearance has the common synonym patience. Patience can be in short supply in a fast-paced world where everyone wants what they want. Amen? When they want it. I'm guilty of that. Sometimes I have to catch myself, hey, man, slow down. You know, the world does not revolve around me. We have to glorify Christ and create disciples. Amen? So, again, patience can be in short supply in a fast-paced world where everyone wants what they want when they want it. But the Holy Spirit has a never-ending supply of patience to flood the Christian's heart at those times when it's needed most. You know, I remember when my mother died, we didn't have a great relationship. And, you know, I was kind of stunned. I knew eventually she was going to pass, but when she did it, I didn't expect it. And, you know, I prayed to the Lord, and he gave me a lot of forbearance and patience because I didn't know what was going to happen. Even though I didn't live with her, I don't know the ins and outs of burying somebody. I don't know the ins and outs of, you know, all of that. Thankfully, my sister took care of that part, and we don't even get along. And then she told me I wasn't invited to the funeral. So imagine all of that going on through your head. And with her, I had to be patient with her, even though she wasn't with me. God's word reads in Ephesians 4:2. I don't know if I have that one up. It says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient forbearing or bearing with one another in love. How many of us had to work with somebody I think everybody had to work with somebody you just she has her hand up high. Who has had to work with somebody they don't like? Yeah, I think we all have at some point, or encountered somebody you don't like. Oh, people raising both their hands up and their legs. I've encountered that a lot, and it's tough. That's one of those Christ-like things that you got to love everybody. And then be gentle. And if you don't like them, all the things that are going on in your head, when they're talking to you, shut up. Or, you know, I think I'm the only one that's done that. But, yeah, we have to be patient, humble, and gentle. And sometimes in certain situations, that's a big ask for some of us. The next one is kindness. Kindness. Anybody want to take a stab at it? Kindness. Amen. Taking care of each other. This fruit of the Spirit is a natural result of love. Kindness. When God's Spirit begins to develop love in the Christian's heart, treating others with kindness, compassion, and forgiveness follows, or is supposed to follow. In fact, once the foundational fruit of love is flowing through one's life, not only kindness, but also gentleness, forbearance, goodness, and the other attributes listed in Galatians 5 will naturally flow. Amen. God's word reads in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. How many people have had to forgive somebody who has wronged you or betrayed you in some way? Anybody? Isn't that hard? And then to try to continue to be gentle and patient and calm with them. You know, I've had to do that, and it was one of the hardest prayers that I ever had to. I got on my knees and I was like, Lord, this is crazy. I can't come up with anything inside of me right now, you know, to say good about this person. I found it hard to forgive. But once I forgave, you know, it was more for me than it was for them. I remember the saying that said, you know, holding a grudge or being mad at somebody is like you drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. I would take that to my grave because I was like, wow. As silly as it sounds, that's kind of profound, you know. I was like, man, so, you know, I try to be compassionate and kind with everybody. I mean, that's what we're called to do, amen? We're the body of Christ. You know, we're ambassadors of Christ. You know, that should just be a natural attribute. Goodness. We may be end a little early, but goodness. This fruit of the Spirit is an attribute of action. It means living one's life with good morals and motives, as well as doing good things for others. What is an example of doing good things for others? Anybody? Yes. That's number one, making coffee for somebody every morning. Hallelujah. That seems to be the most popular answer, so. Anybody else? Thank you. I'll take you up on that. She said, filling up my tank with gas after we leave. So, amen. Anybody else? Goodness? Feeding the hungry. I'm going to take you up on that, too. I'm hungry tonight. Amen. Amen. So feeding the hungry, you know, or you going out there and ministering to the homeless. I was homeless once, and, you know, there was people who actually came. I was leery of them, too. I was like, what do you want, man? I'm out of money and dope, so I don't have nothing for you. But really, they just came to love on me. They came to say, hey, you know, here's some socks. They never gave me money, which, you know, I probably wouldn't have either. But they always provided me with stuff I may need, socks, toothbrush. Hey, you know, you ain't got to be here out in the cold. There's the Dallas Life Foundation. There's a few other Christian homes that you can go to. And, you know, I was grateful for that because it was through one of those tools that God has out there that I was able to come to the Lord. So I'm grateful for those people that went out and ministered to the homeless. So producing the fruit of goodness is a true mark of godliness. The supporting scripture, which is Galatians 6:10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Amen. Let's read that again. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen. So we're to love one another, every last one of us in here. Even if somebody gets on your nerves or, you know, because we're not always going to get along. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And that's a rough thing when you really hear iron sharpening iron. So we got to do good to everybody, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Faithfulness. What is faithfulness to you? Anybody? Amen. Commitment, dedication. Anyone else? Mike? Ooh, I like that, being in the hands of the feet of the Lord, being faithful to Jesus. Amen. So faithfulness means being trustworthy. I like that word, trustworthy. Loyal. Constant and dependable. I'm going to read those again. Trustworthy, loyal, constant, and dependable. The Christian who produces the fruit of faithfulness embodies all these attributes. Faithfulness is especially important to God, because no matter what life brings, he expects his disciples to be unwavering in their faithfulness to him as well as to the people in their lives. Amen. It makes me think of Job. Poor Job. He went through a lot. But I remember reading through that book, and I had to read it a couple times, and finally when I got it, I felt like I had to read it 5 times. And I was like, Lord, the only thing I can get out of it is that he never walked away from God. And everything that he went through, he always remained loyal to the Lord. And I remember the Lord speaking to me, because that's what I expect from you. I was like, easy. Because I have been, you know, like one time we talked on betrayal, I've betrayed, I have stolen, you know, I was a sneak, a thief. So reading that was really profound to me, that he wanted just faithfulness from me. And to know that, you know, it was only for my good. And I was grateful for that. As hard as it may have been, I do love the Lord. He provided me a miracle. And until they drop me to the ground, I will be faithful to him. Do I have bad days? Of course. I'm going through some shoulder pains, and I'm going to go get an MRI Saturday. In spite of that, you know, I have to push through. Again, I go pushing through. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. So I try to remain happy with a good attitude, joyful. Maybe not happy, but joyful. Amen. So God's word reads in James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. I'm going to read that again. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Amen. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. How many of you have gone through a trial? Anybody? Every day. Amen. I like that. Every day can be a trial. I've been a part of a trial. I had to stand in front of a judge, get a sentence. That's a very humbling experience. I don't know how many of you have been to prison, but I remember the judge, you know, I'll never forget her name. I'll never forget what she looked like. But in spite of her being in a position to judge, that woman was kind to me. She's like, you know, it's sad to see. She was telling me that you at such a young age are destroying your life. And she wished me the best. She tried to encourage me even while she was putting that 12-year sentence on me. And you know, I'll never forget her. I know her name to this day. I've looked her up, and, you know, she's just gone on to do great and wonderful things in the world of law, you know. But I'll never forget her. I'll never forget her. Her name is Lee Gabriel. I don't know. You know her? Yeah. I hope you weren't in her court getting a sentence, but but she was an awesome judge. She was an awesome judge. So you can imagine. I didn't know Christ back then, so you can imagine how that trial and the heaviness of it and the burden of it crushed me. You know, and I didn't know anything about Christ back then. Needless to say, I persevered. I had a friend on the outside who sent me took the time out to go buy a $120 Bible. I found out later. It was a Thompson's Chain Reference Bible. I didn't know nothing about Bibles then. Later on, I found the value of that Bible. And I have it to this day, although it's got black duct tape around it because it went through prison and then the halfway house and then home. I have it to this day. And that Bible is so special to me. It is very special to me. It reminds me of where I came from. Amen. So blessed is he is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life. Amen. All right. Gentleness. Gentleness. The way a Christian engages. And so to try to be gentle with somebody like that it's kind of tough. The ability to discern when to use a gentle word is a valuable gift of the Spirit. Amen. Especially in tense moments when unkind words or manners are the typical first response. The Christian who responds with gentleness is a true reflection of Jesus and the kingdom of God. Proverbs 15:1 says it best. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, I work in I'm a claims adjuster for an auto insurance company, and I handle total losses. And when I first got into when I first got into that line of work, you know, you got to settle claims, you got to resolve them, and at the end, you got to write a check and, you know, close the claim. And there was times where I'm rough around the edges. Not anymore, but when I first started, people would always, I don't want to talk to you. Let me talk to your supervisor. I heard that 2/3 of all of my claims. And then, mind you, that we had to go through five. It was a horrible time in our department. We went through five supervisors. And finally, the supervisor that we have now, when he first started, he heard me. He came and sat down next to me. He was looking at me when I was talking to a customer real rough. He was like, calm down. So finally, he pulled me to the side, and he told me, he says, you got to be gentle with these people. He says, you got to kill them with kindness, shower them with love. And if you can't do that, just shut your mouth and listen. You know, don't just listen to what they're saying. Don't just hear, but listen. And then, well, you know, while they're telling you that, try to find out what it is that they're seeking and see what you can do to try to help them. And now, nobody wants to talk to my supervisor. In fact, they're like, Mr. Frank, I need to talk to you. Some people will email me now and tell me, hey, happy new. I had one lady. I settled her claim and she emailed me out of the blue in January. Happy New Year, Frank. I just thought about you. I hope you have a great life, because, you know, I'm not ever going to talk to her. I've got a wife. But just the fact that somebody thought about me, you know what I mean? And that I helped them with their claim and gave them information that they might not know about the insurance industry. That gentleness has come a long way in my job. And I'm grateful, because me and my supervisor, we bumped heads at the beginning. But man, I'm so grateful to that man. I love him. I pray for him. And how many of us know, if you pray for your supervisors, for those in management, that they be blessed and that they succeed at their job, that trickles down. That success comes down to you. That peace that they're feeling comes down to you. So I would remember praying for him. To this day, I love that man. In spite of, you know, he may call my stuff out. But nowadays, when I get an audit, you know, I'm not in exceeds, but I'm in a high meets. So to me, you know, from getting written up to being at a high meets is a long, long road. Amen. And gentleness had a lot to do with that. Hallelujah. So again, it's Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Amen. All right. The last one. Self-control. Uh-oh. I heard a boo. Or an ugh. Self-control. That's a hard one for me, so you guys aren't alone. Paul concludes his list of the fruit of the Spirit with self-control. Why? Because of the human's sin nature.